All right. We're good? All right. We're going to read about the resurrection of our Lord, Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Bible says, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." Can I get a witness on that part? Yeah. "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day, raised again." And they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Lord, we thank you that you are good, that you are mighty, and that you are awesome, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you meet us in this place. We thank you that you did not stay in the tomb. We thank you that you do not leave all those families in Sri Lanka alone this morning. That your heart is rent for them. And we know that as you put your focus on Sri Lanka, that your focus is also on City Heights this morning, where two or more are gathered. You're right here with us this morning, Lord, letting us know that you are indeed a risen Savior. Letting us know that you do not leave us alone, that you are coming back, that you are going to take us to be with you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. Peter went to the tomb, and he was wondering, what is going on? And we got all kinds of people around us wondering about what's going on, live their lives wondering about what happens at the end. And it is like the game of Clue. Perhaps you played Clue as a child. We had that game at my house. Never really a fan. We had that game in our house when my children were young. And there are six characters. There are six weapons. And there are nine rooms in which this dastardly deed could be accomplished. And the game is played, cards are selected and put in an envelope. And at the end of how many of you guys have played Clue? All right, I just want to let you know, I'm probably going to get this wrong. It'll be okay. Just want to let you know. Don't focus on it. But they pass out the cards and you put them in the envelope. And then all the rest of the cards are passed out. And you go through the game and all the alternatives are eliminated. And you get to the point where you think you know who did it, where they did it, and what they did it with. And you'll say, "I want to guess." And you might guess Colonel Mustard with the candlestick in the library. And then you will peek in the envelope and see if you're right. A lot of people live their lives like that. Totally and completely unnecessary. Because Jesus opens the door. Jesus hung on a cross to give us access to what we need in the end. And then he is raised from the dead to lead the way. Amen? We're in a series called The Crosswalk. And the title of today's message is Ending Well. We started this series 2 weeks ago. We took a look at Jesus riding into Jerusalem triumphantly to his town, being proclaimed Messiah. There were those who welcomed him. His servants welcomed him. But there were those who rebelled against him. And we discovered, as we looked at that text, that servants are going to serve, but subjects will rebel. Last week, we took a look at the Last Supper. Jesus gathered with his disciples and celebrated the Passover feast with them. And he said, the greatest among you would be your servant. Found that we're going to serve now so that we can sit later. As we're looking at this crosswalk, as we are looking at Jesus' path to the cross, I want to let you know that it started long before Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. That it started way before his tottering steps as a toddler. That the Bible tells us that the crosswalk indeed began all the way at the foundation of this world, that at the creation of this world, our Lord and Savior was slain for us. And Jesus says that if we are going to be his disciples, and I hope that's something that you are aspiring to this morning, that if you are going to be his disciple, that you need to pick up your cross every day and follow him. Because when you get to the end, you want to make sure you got what you need. Amen? The title of the message today is Ending Well. We are going to spend our time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, wanting to for them to make sure that they knew what they would need when they got to the end. Amen? Key components. To the gospel. We'll read through about half of chapter 15 today. And we're going to start off with verses 1 to 3. Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." If you got a Bible, you could underline that first importance part right there. "That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." And what Paul tells this church in Corinth, that it is the truth contained in the gospel that is going to save you. And many of us need some saving. Amen? We come to Easter Sunday of 2019, and we are going to put a focus on the key components of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it starts with sin. We take a look at sin today. We take a look at sins today. We're going to take a look at the list that we get from the top 10. The Ten Commandments. We take a look at murder. And maybe we got some murderers in the house. But you might be thinking, whoo! But then it says adultery. And then it says stealing. And lying. And coveting. Coveting means just wanting something that isn't yours. And even going, and there's a few more in the book, if you've read it. Can I get a witness on that part? But if we just go through the five, The last five in the Ten Commandments, we realize that all God's people got a problem with sin. Can I get a witness on that? Now, it's not just Christians. Muslims, they got a problem with sin. Hindus got a problem with sin. Pagans, they got a problem with sin. Lots of people got a problem with sin. See, Muslims, they worry about the wrath of Allah, and Hindus, they worry about coming back as a cow or as a fly. Now, it is the Holy Spirit that makes us aware of our sin, the weight, the guilt of our sin, because sin separates us from the love of God and the life that God has for us. Amen? So as we are separate, and sin, Paul writes to chapter 9 of Romans, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And it's God's will that none should perish, but all should come to salvation. All should come to repentance. Amen? And so we got a problem with sin, and it is the life, and it is the death, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where we can find an alternative to lives of sin. So we come to what is of first importance in the gospel of our Lord, that indeed he died on the cross for our sins. Now, the Corinthians had grabbed onto this truth, and they were saved. And when you get to the end, I hope you are grabbing onto this truth as well. Because when you get to the end, you want to make sure you got what you need. Amen? Let's keep going. I'm going to read verse 3 again. We're going to continue on. It says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500, most of whom are still living. Though some have fallen asleep." That means some have died. "Then he appeared to James, then to apostles, and then last of all appeared to me also as one abnormally born." And so Paul says that the death and resurrection of our Lord are key components of the gospel. Now, I want to let you know that the resurrection of Jesus was the plan from the beginning. And Paul says, according to the Scriptures, that it was embedded in the Old Testament that God was letting his people know his plan. We can rewind 600 years before Christ. You can read about it in Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. You could take some time this afternoon and read about the suffering servant in chapters 52 and 53 and learn about all that he did as God told his people 600 years before Jesus hung on a cross. It says, "He was pierced for our transgressions." Can you imagine reading this 100 years before Christ was born? What is he talking about? "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities," that's sin. "The punishment that brought peace on me was placed upon him. And by his wounds, I am healed." I have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid my iniquity upon him. Think about that. Paul goes on to say, this church is in Corinth, modern-day Greece, says that the resurrected Jesus was seen. He lists six different times, 500 people at one time, Some of them had died. Many of them still alive. You could check it out. And that was the message of the apostles. That was the message of the early church. Jesus is alive. Jesus is raised from the dead. And people are going, no way. Way. We'd read about that. We talk about primary importance. 1 John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. He's going, man, we were right there. Which we have looked at, our hands have touched. This we proclaim to you regarding the word of life. This we proclaim to you about our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was the resurrection that transformed the lives of the apostles. On the night of the crucifixion, they ran. They hid. They were afraid of the chief priests. They were afraid of the teachers of the law. They were afraid of the elders of the Jews. They were afraid that they were going to come and they were going to be arrested. They were hiding out. But when they saw Jesus, everything changed because they realized there's something more than this. They realized that there was more important things, as Lisa Gaudet talked about with taking the offering. There's more important things than I got going on right now, and it's going to last a whole long time. And so those eyewitnesses' lives were transformed by the resurrected Jesus, and their values, their purpose was completely transformed because Jesus was risen. Amen? Resurrection will shift priorities. Make you know, I don't care how much money you got. And I look around this room and I can tell some of you don't got very much. I don't got very much. Whatever you got, you could be richest man on the planet. You'd be Bill Gates. What you got is not enough for when you get to the end. We don't got what we need. Some of you know that parked in my car right now, in my garage right now, is my 1963 Oldsmobile Super 88. 394 motor. Been having transmission problems for a year now. My son and I started working on this car, I was thinking 5 years ago, could be 7 years ago. Seven, at least God knows. So my wife heard me talking. My wife, over the last several months, has been, what is going on with the Super 88? And I got it going, and I drive it to church, and he's having a good old time, but having a problem with the transmission, the main seal leaking, there's a pressure problem inside. And I took it to my friend down the street here. He pulled it apart three times. Rebuilt the transmission three times, twice on warranty, this last year. And he finally gave up. Actually, he retired. The transmission caused me to quit. No, he didn't say that, but it might have. And I thought, oh, I have a mechanical engineering degree. I'll figure out what's going on with that transmission. And I started reading this book, and I just realized there ain't no way I'm going to figure out what's going on with this transmission. I realized that what I need, I don't have. But I want to let you know that I began to look last week, and I found a 1964 Slim Jim, hydromatic transmission in Kentucky. They've been sitting on a shelf for 20 years. And that transmission is sitting in San Marcos right now. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to go pick that bad boy up. Because I'm going to get the parts I need in the end. Amen? All right. Keep going. See, the parts make the plan. Verse 15, chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. Paul goes on to say, I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. He says, no, I worked harder than all of them, talking about the other disciples, the apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me, that was doing the work. So whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. See, the parts make the plan, and Paul has got a part in the plan. Amen? You're here today, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You got a part in the plan of the Lord. Let me say that again. The parts make the plan. And Paul had a part in the plan, and you're here today, you got a part in the plan. All right, thank you, yes. Part of your part is to say amen when I pause. Paul started off bad. He was a persecutor of the church. You can think of him as some old-time ISIS guy that was going around and arresting Christians. In fact, when Jesus appears to him, he is on the way to Damascus to arrest more Christians. And he says this is the grace of God. Now, maybe you rolled in here this morning and you're here because your kid's going, Dad, I'm going to win that bike. Or Mom, I'm going to win a basket of candy. Or I just want ice cream. They got ice cream there. And you in your heart, you're thinking, I am too far gone for God. Well, that's what Paul thought. And Paul said, it wasn't what I did that mattered. It was what God did that mattered. That I am transformed because a work of grace in my life from God. And a work of grace is unmerited favor. That means that Paul didn't do anything to deserve it. That God just poured it out his way and he grabbed on. And he says that it was grace in Corinth that came by them and they grabbed on. And this morning, I want to let you know that grace came my way and I grabbed on. And there's many people that are sitting next to you this morning. Grace came by and they grabbed on. I want to let you know it's not anything that we did. But Jesus hung on a cross. And Jesus was raised from the dead. And he comes by City Heights this morning and speaks your name. This is an act of grace that none of us did anything to deserve. His act of grace pointed onto you. Grab on. Because when you get to the end, God wants to make sure you got what you need to get in. Amen? All right. Verses 12 through 19. This is a little chunk here. And it gets a little techie, so just roll with me for a minute, and we'll get through. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. You see this on a little downhill slope. Amen? More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sin. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ, those who have died, are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Paul is saying, you lose the parts, you're going to lose the plan. Now, I want to let you know, this letter is written to the church in Corinth. Big church, bigger than this church. But full of people just like you. And they realistically, they had no doubt that Jesus had been raised from the dead. They had no doubts about heaven. They had no doubts about hell. They had no doubts about the forgiveness of sin. What they did have doubts about was what happened to people who died before Jesus came back. See, there was the belief that Jesus was coming back right away. Now, this letter is written 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And there were some who had fallen asleep. There were some who had died. And you could be on your deathbed. And it'd be coming on. Fred, hang on. Jesus is coming back soon. Don't die yet. And there were people who died. And there would be great sorrow and great weeping. I mean, you've been to a funeral? People who don't know the Lord. I've done funerals for people who don't know the Lord. They're just crying and weeping and wailing because there is no hope. But I'll tell you what, I've done some funerals for some old folks. 92, 95, 97. Wore out their bodies, served the Lord. I remember Bertha Eckhoff sitting right there where Jeff is. Came into the church, I was like 30. No, I was like, I don't know, 35. And she's like 90. I've been in Pentecost 75 years. And she wore her body out. When she died, we celebrated. Because we knew she was in heaven. Amen? Back then, they had no celebration. Because if you died, they were sure you were lost. And that's what Paul is writing this about. About those who have gone to sleep. And the reason we can celebrate this morning, and the reason we can celebrate when we go to a funeral of somebody who has been lost is because Paul put that whole line of teaching to bed right here. He said, no, 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 no. He goes on to in the last half of this chapter 15, and he talks about our bodies being like seeds. Anybody ever planted a seed? Give me a hand. Come on, let me see. Seed planters out there. He says, this body's like a seed, and you put this natural body into the ground when it's dead, and out pops a spiritual body. And you go, oh. In fact, chapter 52, he says, in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be changed when he is coming back. See, and he gives us the keys to the end, the parts. He's been talking about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Amen? And he's been talking about his resurrection. And he says, right here, he gives us a third key component in the gospel. It says that he is coming back soon. And he is coming back to get us. Amen? He says, you don't want to miss out on that. It says here, don't miss out on the parts. Because you miss out on the parts, you're going to miss out on the prize. You're going to miss out on everything. You don't got all of it. You don't have none of it. He says, you lose a resurrection, you're going to lose a sacrifice, and you're going to lose eternity. Because when you get to the end, you want to make sure you got all the parts. Amen? You know, Friday night, Lisa and I went out, and our daughter joined us, Leanne's downstairs, I think. And JJ, we went out to Thai food. I just got to let you know, I think I'm going to swear off Thai food, but that's not the point. I was asking them about my daughter's penchant for making cake when she was a little girl. 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. See, Lisa, back in the day, she would make a cake at the drop of a hat. I mean, she could make a cake so easy. I mean, just like, oh, I just make a cake. Done. And because we always had cake mix. But so Leanne, she would want to follow in her mother's footsteps. And she would say, I'm going to make a cake. And she would sit there, and Lisa and I were even talking about this morning. She goes, oh, yeah, because I had different memories than Lisa did. And she says, yeah, she'd probably be making cakes when I'm not around. Could be. And see, Leanne, you know, just being little. And she'd, like, grab some flour. And she'd grab some sugar. And she'd maybe grab some salt. And maybe some milk. And she would grab her mom's bacon dish. And then we were talking on Friday. She said, yeah, I'll put corn, Cheerios, anything I thought would be good in a cake. And she'd just be mixing it up. And then she would put it in the oven. And I don't even know at 6 years old how she learned how to work the oven. But she would put it in the oven and figure when she got to the end, it would all be good. But her mom would say, no, Leanne, you got to have a recipe. And she says, I got all the stuff that I need. She was adamant. I know what I need. And her mom would say, no, you got to have all the right parts. Or when you get to the end, you don't have anything. Jesus died on the cross. Give us access to the kingdom. He walked out of the tomb to lead the way. When we get to the end, we'll have all we need. Amen? All right, last thing I got. Living with a focus on the end, verses 20 to 23. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits, we're going to talk about first fruits in just a minute. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, of those who have died. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ, the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. I hope you belong to him this morning. Amen? Jesus leads us into life. See, mankind experienced a spiritual death in the Garden of Eden. He was separated from God because of his choice, because of his sin. Everyone has this separation. Adam leads us into it. Have you ever wondered why you don't have to teach a 2-year-old how to lie? See, that's somebody who has a 2-year-old. Fresh 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 3-year-old to get good. You ever wonder why you don't have to teach a 2-year-old how to steal? We're born knowing how to lie and steal and cheat and be self-focused and selfish. We get it from Adam. And it is in Jesus' sacrifice, it is in Jesus' resurrection from the dead that we are able to find new life. New opportunity, new hope. See, he opened the way by his sacrifice on the cross. Leads us into it as he walked from the tomb. And he says, he's the first. And we get to follow. Says he is the first fruits. You think, what is it? It's a Jewish thing. Jews would plant wheat and flax and oats and barley and all that kind of stuff. And about this time of the year, the crop would begin to come up. And they would take the very first plants that came up, the very first seeds that sprouted. Have you ever seen wheat? It's got like little seeds on the top. And they would grab them into a handful. They would wrap it up. It'd be called a sheaf. And the very first that came up, they would bring to the Lord. And it was an act of faith. It was an act of recognition on the part of the farmer who said, I got this crop that's coming because you brought it. Amen? And he brings the first to the Lord because the Lord is priority, and he brings it in faith saying, I know that there's more that's coming my way. Amen? I know there's more. See, he says, here's the first. I'm giving you all there is, knowing that there's going to be more that's coming later. You see that? See how that works? Sometimes our tithe needs to be like that. You can grab on to, oh, I don't have anything else. And the Lord says, I got a whole crop coming. You can grab onto that and keep it for yourself. Ain't going to be no rain. Can I get a witness? Come and harvest. Jesus is the first. We get to follow. But when you get to the end, you want to make sure you got what you need to get in. Amen? Last thing I got for you, and it's going to be good. Because the end is going to be good. Then the end will come. When he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. Before we get to the end, Jesus has a job to do. He is going to defeat dominion, authority, and power. He writes about this in a letter he wrote to the church in Ephesus, chapter 6, verse 12. Says that our struggle, your struggle, this week, prayed with somebody this morning about struggle. Your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. These are the forces that battle against us. These are the forces that you have been fighting against this week, this month, this year, next week, next month, next year. And it says before we get to the end that Jesus is going to utterly and completely defeat our foes and his. And when they are defeated, he's going to hand the whole package over to our Father in heaven. That's when it gets good. You can read about how good it's going to get. You can read about Revelation chapter 21 and 22. It's good. If you're going to read it, I recommend you go back to chapter 19. About the rider on a white horse. Let me just read you three verses. Hallelujah. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the old one, he just kind of crumples up, throws away. Brand new heaven, brand new earth. Want to make sure you've got what you need when you get there. Amen? New heaven, a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There's no longer any sea. Rocky and Mike Henson, I don't know what they're going to do. They're like going fishing all the time. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God, saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. Be their God. That sounds good, doesn't it? Jesus died on the cross to give us access. He rose from the dead to lead the way. And when you get to the end, you want to make sure you got what you need. Easter morning, 2019. Have you got what you need? Many of you say, yeah. There's a lot of people who do have what they need. At least you can come up here and play. And there's a lot of people who think they do. They live their lives trying to eliminate options, alternatives, trying to wheedle in on God's plan for you. And I want to let you know that it is completely unnecessary. You don't have to live your life like a game of Clue. Because he has told us what we need. Three cards. Jesus on the cross. Raised from the dead. Coming soon. You got that. See, Paul says, that's what I got. And he was writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, this is what you got. Keep your hands on it. I want to let you know this morning, that's what I got. And there are people sitting all around you this morning saying, yeah, that's what I got. Hallelujah. I'm going to get to the end, and I'm going to have what I need. Because when you got these, it'll change your priorities. It'll change your focus today. And you're going to live that life when Jesus shows up, blows a trumpet, and we are raised in a twinkling of an eye. He's going to say, James, I've been looking at you. James done grabbed on. Lives his life differently today because he's got what he needs in the end. Amen? And maybe you're here this morning. You're saying, I'm like that. I am living with a new focus, a new purpose in my life. But maybe you are here this morning, and this is news to you. And the Lord is speaking your name this morning. The Lord is meeting you this morning. The Lord, in an act of grace, in an act of mercy, has come to City Heights. And he says, I open the way. I'll lead you there. I'm coming back soon. But you got to follow. You walk in here this morning, and you're here for a bike, you're here for a candy basket, or you're here just for ice cream. Jesus is offering you a whole lot more this morning. Amen. So now I'll give you eternity. I died on a cross. So take you with me. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, I thank you. I was walking along the street in Sacramento some 30 years ago now. You revealed yourself to me that I could bend a knee and say, Lord, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. Thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children.